There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Live local talk over the next couple of hours. Glad you're here. Of course, you're a part of it. Phone line 343-0106. And, well, I've got to give you, I guess, because I'm looking at my email here. Even this is my work email, which is just usually hundreds of email a day, but now it's like twice that because all the Cyber Monday deals. So what am I offering y'all for? Okay, here you go. Here's the pitch. Leanna, you listen. Our Cyber Monday pitch here is, if you'll listen to the show online at fmtalk1065.com, we will give you a free download of the show through our podcast page. All right, so here's our Cyber Monday deal. If you listen online, this is for cyber, so all of us just listen on regular radio. It's not us. If you're listening online, which, by the way, you can do a lot of different places, fmtalk1065.com is the best place to do that, to stream the station there on your smartphone or your desktop. You can ask those devices that listen to everything you say in your house. You can ask whichever one you have to play FM Talk 106.5, and it'll do it for you. So you can listen for free there. And in addition, I'm going to double this offer because you can go online to fmtalk1065.com and click the podcast tab or go to iTunes or Stitcher or any other Spotify, any of the podcast platforms, and download for free. So there you go. There's your Cyber Monday deal. I'm doubling. You get to listen online for free and get to listen to the podcast for free. So there's beat that deal. Beat that. Well, yes, Haywood. Haywood on the text line says, wait, what? We can't get that already? Yeah, but Haywood, this is for Cyber Monday. This is for Cyber Monday. It's a special deal. Other people, well, yes, you can get that deal every day here and every evening. And yes, it's always like that, but I'm branding it here, Haywood and others. I'm branding it that it's a special deal for Cyber Monday. Yes, you can get that. You listen to us online for free all the time. You can download our podcast for free all the time. Many of y'all, and those numbers are incredible, by the way, many of y'all are taking advantage of 54 hours a week of live local programming. You're downloading, listening to it when you're whatever, cooking a Thanksgiving dinner or out shopping, whatever you do, listening at your convenience. But yes, it is always free for both of those things. And why'd y'all have to mess it up for me? I thought I was really had a great pitch there. Okay. Oh, speaking of yes, so Keith, yes, a two-for-one special. That's what I'm calling it. It's a two, you get both for the price of one, which is free. So you get both for free now. See, I'm doubling, Keith. I'm doubling that offer for Cyber Monday. See, you get great deal. Discount code applied, my brother and sister. Discount code applied. All right. Another thing that you can get online for free is to help me here with adding a few more names of businesses or items to our Locals Only Christmas list. Big thank you to Greer's Cash Saver for making this happen. And this morning I was lamenting that my list was doing what often it does with me and leaning more towards gifts I would like to get. And so let's add in some things from the more feminine side, and y'all did a great job. We've got soaps and candles and all kind of stuff that are locally produced that have been added to the list, and we're going to post that up here later this week. We'll start with the online portion of Locals Only Christmas, but if you've checked this out in the past, these are local artisans. Could be food, could be everything from cast nets to scented candles, right? Everything from fishing trips to artwork, to everything in between. These are local folks making great items that are really cool Christmas gifts to give. So you help out local folks, keep it local, and you give that gift, and you'll have one of those gifts that goes under the Christmas tree that nobody else has given, right? You'll get that real reaction like, holy cow, where'd you find this? Funny question. Let me tell you more about that. All right, let's do this. Coming up in the show today, I mentioned it a second ago with Jeff, Attorney General Steve Marshall joins us about 12:35 and talk with him about a couple things. Number one, the monuments law. Number two, the census lawsuit. So this is a thing we've been talking about for long time on this show, and we're going to get into the discussion of where it stands now as the census lawsuit is having a day in court here, and we'll see. I think they'll have ruling before he comes on. I hope so. But this is, you know, about using people that are not citizens to count in the census in other states and what it could mean to us. So we'll talk to the AG about that and the monuments law. Do that in a little bit. Plus, Ben Raines. So I did watch the 60 Minutes Clotilda piece between the two shows today, and I'm versed on that. And Ben Raines, who first really brought it to my attention, Clotilda had been found, is going to join us to talk about his reaction to that from last night. We'll be talking with him here at 1 o'clock on the show. Also, when we come back, more of the discussion of Mardi Gras we had this morning. Where are we going with this? Are we going to have Mardi Gras? Who's going to be the person to pull the plug on this? Is it the city? Is it the health department? Is it maybe the crews that will do this? So we'll get into that. Plus some headlines here as Congressman-elect Jerry Carl naming staff members here. This is a big deal as you're getting ready for next month. Also, we can revisit a little bit that Jeff was talking about here. All the folks that seem to be ready, the computer commandos out there that are all ready for the armed confrontation and uprising out there. I want to hear from you how you're going to make that work. You ready to kill another American over this? You ready to shoot another American? I'll put you at the front of the list. All right, call us.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Segment brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK, online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. All right, Thanksgiving's in the rear view, heading towards Christmas. Maybe you're bucking the trend, huh? You're going to have family in for Christmas. Maybe you have a particular relative that likes to comment about the amount of junk in your home. Hey, beat them to the punch and get rid of the junk before they get there. And that could be true outside, too. You got the full full play set, the full swing set, the full pirate's ship swing set and playhouse. Maybe you have a trampoline. Your youngest child's in their 30s. Maybe it's time to let that go. It could be something inside your house, outside your house, storage unit. Could be at your office. You got junk. You need it gone. You need my friend, Trey, who's worked for me at the house, here at the radio station, and guarantee it does great work, does what he says he's going to do. So check out 1-800-GOT-JUNK online. Make that appointment on the phone, 1-800-GOT-JUNK. They'll set a day and a window of time. They show up. They quote your price. If you say yes, they get to work and get it done. It's 1-800-GOT-JUNK. So check them out today. All right, 12:19 here. I want to add something here because I'm looking through, and we'll go through some of these texts here. But and thank you for the people that are that really do appreciate the 2-for-1 deal. And thank you for Leanna said she would throw in on this Cyber Monday. Not only do you get to listen online for free, you get to download the podcast for free and look at our Facebook page updates for free. All right, so check those out. That's our Cyber Monday special here on this edition of Midday Mobile. All right, so I want to address a couple things here. Number one, on the mask, quickly, we'll run through some history. So what am I reading right now? I'm reading another Daniel Boone book, right? The history of Daniel Boone, American frontiersman. I would argue if you look at the three dimensions of Daniel Boone, a real good example for the American spirit, not always perfect, but generally better than not, right? And a couple things. One thing that pointed out on this mask thing that we were talking about last hour, how interesting is it that the American spirit has always been to buck certain laws, right? I mean, how many laws were put out by the fledgling republic here for Americans to stay out of Indian territory, stay out of places, don't go there. You're going to stop here at the Ohio River. You need to stop at, whatever. We're going to make a demarcation line. Don't go there. Don't settle there. We've already made a treaty with those folks. And what did we do? We kept on pushing, right? let alone what caused the revolution in the first place. So bucking of trends has been something Americans have done in the past, so there shouldn't be any surprise there. But let's move on to this next part. And so Bob said to me that, Sean, based on your last comments, I can only assume that you need this, that you only need the Second Amendment for hunting and don't understand why the Second Amendment exists. I love to be told what I don't understand. It's good. Appreciate that. If you've listened to the show over time, I've said quite the contrary. I've argued that the use of the Second Amendment is not for hunting, right? I mean, the ideas of a militia, we don't go hunting with a militia. So, Bob, I'm there. And I'm a guy, Bob, that may own a long arm or two or handgun. Maybe I have none. I've said this before. I'm concrete on this. I own between 0 and 500 guns. It could be zero. I probably don't even know how the things work. But when it goes to this armed insurrection discussion, I want to point this out. While our founders put this in for the idea of, if need be, overthrow a tyrannical government. And you heard Pete Ream talking about it with Jeff, I think, that got some of that discussion started. My question is, do you believe that this situation, if you believe that this election was rigged, and you can go on how rigged do you think it was, which, by the way, Dr. Alec Yasensack, who I've had on many times to talk about how this fraud goes down and how the mistakes happen, I talked to him throughout last year. He's going to join us again on tomorrow's show, so we're going to do that in the noon hour. He's written a lot on this and studied a lot on how voter fraud goes down, so we're going to talk to him tomorrow. But do you believe that this is at a point where what I will call you, the computer commandos out there, this is the point where you're going to take up arms against whom? You take up arms against the government? Well, right now, the government is still in the control of President Trump. Are you going to wait? Are you going to take up arms against people who disagree with you? Who are you going to point the guns at? Who are you going to point the guns at? Once again, this middle ground that I find myself in, I think, is one that's determined by logic here. And while I support Bob and others, and like I said, I may be a person that has between 0 and 500 guns and believes that they are for the protection of our God-given rights. The Constitution is pretty darn important to me. At the same time, the rhetoric out there and the idea of running to your that you have exhausted every other mean and you're gonna now you're gonna load up, you load magazines full, strap on some kind of body armor looking stuff and go out. And who are you going to shoot? Let us not forget our history. Let us not, you would go through the, and people say, well, it's not revolutionary, it's like the Civil War. Okay, let's go through the first 6 hours of the Battle of Shiloh. Let's look at Antietam. Let's look at the bloodshed of all Americans there. That's where you want to go because you believe that this was a rigged election? That's where you want to go with it? Do you think it's at a level that you're going to run out and point a gun at another American? No, I don't think we're there as a nation. I think there are people that are there, and that bothers me. Because I hold that fact that we are armed and we have the ability to throw off a tyrannical government dear to my heart. So I'll agree with you and I'll nod with you. I'll be standing there. But when you say, and this right here is an example of the time that we're going to take up arms and point those arms at other Americans, I'm out. I am out. There may be something in our future that I have not foreseen that will be, I'll be like, well, I'm in now. But at this point, if you're saying that this is the time you're going to take up arms and go point them at another American, I am out. I guess we could take a couple calls here. Got to go fast, though. We've got Attorney General Marshall joining us in just a little bit. But there, let me do that, and then we'll get some of the text. Let's go to phone number, by the way, 343-0106. David in Mobile. David.
Sean, I'm following you right out the door on that one.
It's not time to point a gun at another American?
Exactly, and here's why. biggest reason, other than the fact that it's that we are not to the point where armed insurrection is necessary, is not only would these rebels be fighting their federal government, they would be fighting their state government too. And here's why: if the states tried to leave, you're going to have Americans fighting Americans as well as the government fighting everybody else, because what's going to happen to all these people that receive all these government benefits? And it's not just people, it's corporations, it's county governments and all this other stuff. There's too many people that are getting the gravy train from the federal government to state government for the states to want to leave the union. So it's not going to be successful. It's not necessary. The best way to ensure that you don't that they don't steal the elections is to not only get out and vote, but then work through the ballot initiative process that are in these states to demand and require them to have election security measures like voter ID and voting on election day.
I'm all for finding the truth in this, because If we can't find the truth, and we cannot on all political fronts, saying both sides, I think there's people that are a lot more gray than there is black and white. Social media and media makes you think everybody's black and white on these things, but there's a lot more gray. If we cannot find a way to give confidence in our system, then we've got big problems. So it should be job number one at a federal level to assure the American people and continue with showing transparency how the system works and how it is not rigged, or how, if it was rigged, those mistakes have been fixed.
You just said the key word right there about how we instill confidence in our elections, and that's transparency. And we don't currently have that.
Nope, I agree. And we'll talk, and appreciate the call. We'll talk more about this with Dr. Yasinsack tomorrow on what can be done. Let's talk about this. If we spent half the energy people on Facebook did showing some tour of their safe with their weapons in it, my God, by the way, just even if you're all in on that, how tactically stupid is that? And spent more time trying to figure out what we would agree would be a transparent system of voting here, then we're a lot better off. A lot better off. So Bob says he guesses the Republic is lost. I don't believe the Republic is lost. I think this is something worth working on. I guess part of it, too, is to me it seems like people are so quick to say, okay, well, that's ruined. We gotta take up arms. Like, wait a second. What happened to steps 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8? Where's that? Where's that? Now, here's people talking about unnamed texter here. The problem is not just voter fraud, but tech and media influencing the insurrection, censoring conservatives, president using bias. All true, unnamed texter, that there's a lot of things that have to be worked on out there. But here's where I disengage with it is, are those things piss me off too, okay? But saying that that's a reason to support violence against another American, that's a bridge too far. That is a bridge too far. And people talk about, you know, somebody said about Facebook and the evil there and the enemy of freedom of speech. It is. It is. I wonder if more like Jeff, when Jeff mentioned discussion of what to push back on here, say people are supporters of President Trump, want to have more clarity. How about you just push back on media groups if you want to boycott and say, hey, why do you continue to censor free speech? Not, hey, you're not doing our side. Nuh-uh. How about you just go out and say what we need is media companies that believe in free speech? All right, coming right back, Attorney General of the State of Alabama, Steve Marshall, our guest right here on Midday Mobile. Glad you're along. Everybody cool? Good.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, here we go. Welcome back. Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5, online at fmtalk1065.com, where not just on Cyber Monday, but you can listen free there anytime. So count that as your Cyber Monday deal from us. Why don't y'all say hello to Attorney General of the State of Alabama, Steve Marshall, joining us now. Thanks for your time.
Oh, happy to be with you. Hope everybody had a great holiday.
Yeah, and we did. How about you? Good one.
I did, and it was quiet and small, which all of which was good.
There we go. Now we're going to go into loud and busy.
Exactly. Back at it.
And you heard your comments. I was listening to the audio from last week about where we are with the monuments law in the state of Alabama. And I guess maybe we'll hit the rewind for a second, Attorney General, and let people know, just in layman's terms, Sullivanese here, what does the monuments law say?
Well, monument law deals with what is the authority of local governments depending on the age of a monument or statue and what they can do. And what is clear in Alabama is that if there is one in place for over 40 years, then there is no discretion for local governments to be able to move or alter a monument of any type.
Okay. So the law says you can't do that, but it has been done and it continues to be done.
Well, we've had six different now issues in which we've had to become involved. The law specifically places the responsibility on the Attorney General to make a determination about whether or not the law has been violated. Most recently, we've initiated litigation in Madison County involving the removal of a monument from a courthouse square that had been there for over 100 years.
So, okay, the law says you can't do this. The municipalities... Do they, because I'm going to come back and bring it back here to South Alabama in a second. Are they going through a process where they, even though this all is still an affront to the law, do they say, okay, well, we had a meeting of the council or the commission or whatever their former government is, and we decided to do it, or are they just up and doing it?
Well, I think we've seen different situations in different places, but the ultimate sort of impact of all that is still the same, is that to the extent that there is an effort, as we first litigated involving the city of Birmingham almost 2.5 years ago now, involving this act that has been around since 2017, that when there is an action that is taken specifically involving something that is covered by that law, then it is subject to a $25,000 fine when it's violated.
Okay, you and I talked about this last time, and $25,000 fine. There could be a situation where people say, fine, take it down, we'll get a group together, we'll do a GoFundMe, whatever, we'll pay the $25,000 and it'll be done. Now, is that how this works? Is it just that sounds just like a tax there.
Yeah, I mean, it's still taxpayer money that has to come to us. No private group can send money in to pay for the actions of local officials. But, you know, Sean, it's become a... clearly for me a much broader issue, and this is, I mean, I'm a prosecutor. I've been doing this for 20 plus years, and my job is to be able to enforce the laws that are on the books. And one of the things that has been fundamental to the way that I approach it is that I'm not here to decide the propriety of an action of a legislative body. That's, in fact, what I'm required to enforce. And what I was simply trying to do last week is to be reminding local officials that the rule of law matters, and that when the legislature acts, as they did deliberately here with an act from 2017, that it's not up to local officials to make a decision as to whether or not they comply or not comply and make individual judgments, because that becomes a very slippery slope about where we are in this country and where we are in communities about whether or not we abide by the rule of law.
But you mentioned this when you were in your statement. I'm paraphrasing here. Take it up with the legislature.
Exactly. And in fact, you know, there's clearly people that believe the law is too weak. They think that there's a $25,000 fine is not a significant incentive for local officials to comply. And then obviously there are those who believe that there should be greater local control. But that was part of the debate in 2017 when the law initially passed and ultimately the legislature act. And so to the extent that either side has a beef, they have the opportunity to be able to get that changed. That's our system of government. That's the purpose of the separation of powers. But my job is to make sure I enforce the law. And when local officials take that oath, one of the things that they say is that they're going to uphold the laws of the state of Alabama. And that's something that we expect them to do.
So what other, beyond the taxpayer dollars going to pay the fine, is there any other clawback? Is there any other part of this where, let's say this city says, fine, we'll come up with it and we're going to, here's your $25,000 and we're taking this thing down. Is there anything else your office is tasked with?
No, there's no other responsibility. In fact, you know, one of the questions has always been, you know, can you proactively, as the Attorney General, attempt to file for what many people refer to as injunctive relief, to be able to get an order from a judge to direct local officials not to do anything? Well, the Supreme Court's been very clear in the initial case that we had out of Birmingham that the only remedy available is after the action has taken place for us then to do the $25,000 fine. So that is the entire scope of relief that's included in the act, and that's all that's available to us for purposes of enforcement.
So county, municipality, other group, decides to raise that money through taxpayer dollars somehow, can't come from a private group, that they can take the monument down.
Now, if it's a separate group that acts, that becomes a different story. You know, if it's the local government, then the Monument Act applies. But if it was a separate group that comes in without the blessing of a governmental authority in either way, you know, that's a whole new kettle of fish right there.
All right. I want to shift gears here and talk about – people are going to say, the Attorney General and Sean talk about this all the time, but there's good reason. This is a story that's been going on for quite a while. Can you set what's being discussed in the Supreme Court today? What is the question – what's the question about the census? Can you give it to us so people understand this?
Absolutely. You know, one thing is that we have litigation pending, and then we believe in response to that, the president issued a memorandum to the census, basically saying he wanted them to exclude those who are in this country unlawfully so that when he certified an apportionment count to Congress, and again, that's where representation for each state is determined based on population, he wanted to be able to remove those individuals when he sent that number. Now, it's important to us in Alabama, despite the fact that we had 99.9% participation rate, that Alabama can lose a congressional seat as a result of the fact that we would count those in this country unlawfully. And so today at the Supreme Court, as a result of a case filed on behalf of the state of New York against the president, the Supreme Court heard arguments on whether or not that memorandum that the president issued to the census was going to be deemed valid. And a very interesting argument. In some cases, some situations, it seems like the court may be inclined to do as the D.C. Circuit did last week, to say that any kind of case like that is premature, that we need to see what the president does before that happens. And the good thing here, Sean, is that this is under President Trump's watch, even if he does not serve that second term. And so we think that the president's actions will be something that will help Alabama, and it's something that matters to us, particularly because of the potential for us to lose that congressional seat, and that may impact the folks down in South Alabama.
I've heard that latest discussion. You know, everybody's deciding, and for a while there, I thought it was going to be AL5. Now they're talking about AL1, but I come back to that in a second. But help me, you know, even when I have, like so many times, I will have my own opinion about something, but I can put myself in the shoes of the other party. And I can say, yeah, I disagree with them, but I maybe understand how they came up with their argument. This one still leaves me scratching my head. If the job of the census is to, like you said, apportion representation in Washington, what the heck, let alone illegal immigrants, I can talk about legal immigrants, non-citizens, what is the point of using it? It seems like it's just, why would that even be a question?
No, and it defies common sense, right? That if you're in this country, you're here unlawfully, you can't vote, then why should your presence in a certain state disproportionately dilute the validity of those who are lawfully here and can vote in other states? Because what we've seen, you know, we've had multiple discussions over the years with you about sanctuary cities and how, you know, cities have basically opened the doors and ignored the law as it relates to immigration. But to the extent that California and New York and Texas can allow for this to take place, and that it ultimately impacts us, that issue becomes much more personal. And here, again, if you're not here lawfully, you can't vote in a congressional election or a federal election, then why should your presence here be counted to impact Alabama adversely?
Yeah, I mean, well, it comes back home to Alabama, but, I mean, just the beginning of that sentence, why do we count them in the first place? Why do we count? If that's true, then let's just count all the tourists that are in the United States at any given time by district, too. I mean, they don't get to vote. They're not represented, but let's count them.
In fact, there were some really good questions at the Supreme Court trying to be able to identify that particular issue with those who are against it. And, you know, I think the concern broadly for us from the legal standpoint would be that this has not necessarily been the practice of those from the census in the past. But the reality is that we've never had the numbers of illegal immigrants in this country to the level that would have impacted it previously. And so I think we began to see that number increase dramatically during the 2000s and to the point now that there are a significant number of those individuals who would fall into that category that are here now that for the first time are able to either help or hurt other states because of their presence.
How much of this formula, is there a balance here or percentages? Because we talked about the census, how important it was for Alabamians to fill out the census, and thank goodness through the hard work of some census folks, we got that done in Alabama. So we've done that portion of it. Is it 50-50, that and the question that's in front of the Supreme Court now? Is it 90-10, Attorney General? Where does that said.
Yeah, I wish we could tell you, and I think we're still waiting to get that number. We've got experts that have been retained by us that, you know, have been able to work with numbers that we've obtained that from other organizations that give us some understanding of how many folks are here unlawfully. But the ultimate question becomes, what is the census ultimately, or the Census Bureau ultimately determine, and what number do they send to the president? I think once we see that, we're going to know an awful lot more about what that the percentage impact it could be on Alabama, and particularly whether or not we think that we would lose that seat. I mean, the people that crunch these numbers daily and kind of follow this, I think, would be able to come to a conclusion fairly quickly. And this number, by statute, is supposed to be the president by December 31st. One of the things we heard in the oral argument today on behalf of the government was it may be just a little bit later because there was that delay as a result of a California judge messing around with the date the census had to be concluded. But we ought to know something within the 1st of January, and I think we'll be able to answer that question a whole lot better.
Attorney General Marshall, we appreciate your time. We'll have to get you back on soon.
Look forward to it. Thanks, Sean.
All right. There he is, Attorney General of the State of Alabama, Steve Marshall. And a couple of those issues that are pressing. One right now in front of SCOTUS. I mean, I do a good job, I think, of putting myself in somebody else's shoes and trying to understand their argument, whether I agree or not, most likely disagree. This one I've never been able to square with. I haven't been able to figure that out. All right, coming right back, more Midday Mobile.
This WKRG News 5 update is brought to you by Mike Ward's Liberty Safes. You can buy a safe anywhere, but you can't get this kind of service anywhere. Buy from the folks you trust. Mike Ward's Liberty Safes, 471-1137. This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 1250 FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, Monday style. You know, we've been talking about all the different shopping going on out there. Small business, Black Friday, Cyber Monday. Maybe we have LCM Tuesday. I'm going to talk to my buddy Larry Kirby with LCM and talk a little bit more about that great inventory on the lot. Hey, Larry.
Good afternoon, Sean. How are you?
I'm good. What do you think? It's going to be LCM. Although y'all do this every, you don't have a special day because y'all do this all the time with having a great inventory and great financing.
Yeah, we do a special Monday through Saturday.
Tell folks, like, you talk about inventory, what y'all are looking like on the lot?
We got a great inventory. We got a good mix. You know, we got sports cars. We got family cars. We got gas misers. We got mid and full size SUVs with third rows, and we got two-wheel drive, four-wheel drive trucks, crew cabs, regular cabs, extended cabs. So we got a tremendous selection, warranties, and great financing to go with them.
All right, so if somebody's looking for that next vehicle for themselves or thinking about a gift, a good time to come see you. How do they find you?
Come see us at the corner of Highway 90 and Plantation Road. Visit us online at lcmotorcars.com. Like us on Facebook or just call us at 375-0068.
Thanks, Larry.
Thank you.
All right, Larry Kirby checking in from LCM. All right, I want to talk about, too, another sign of the season. No, it is not Cyber Monday. Well, I'll find out. My friend Mary Lee Gay from the Sanger Theater is going to join us to talk about the Christmas or the holiday film series. Mary Lee, is there a cyber component to this on this Monday?
No cyber component, but we did bring in the Christmas weather for
yes,
a week.
That's true.
You know, get in the feeling. So it's hard to feel like Christmas when it's 75 degrees outside. So. No, we brought in the cold weather just for this.
Okay, and so people, let me see you transition. Then people can come inside the Sanger and warm up.
Yeah, they can warm up. We'll have, you know, a nice warm theater, but socially distant, so you can feel safe while getting in the holiday spirit. And Santa will be there taking socially distant photos and socially distant Christmas lists. So we kick off this Friday at 7 p.m. with It's a Wonderful Life. I'm just going right into the schedule here.
Yeah, roll with it.
And then Sunday at 3 o'clock, we've got Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, the 1964 version. I don't know if you remember, like, the claymation movies.
Do I? With the voice of Burl Ives and the claymation Burl Ives? Forget about it. That's the best.
The best. So we thought we'd bring those back because they don't really show them anymore on TV, or not so much. And, you know, kids need to see that. So so, because they really are the best. And then we take a little break because we will have the Mobile Symphony Orchestra at the Sanger the following weekend, but we kick back off on December 18th. That's a Friday night at 7 p.m. with Elf, which is one of my favorites. I mean, I don't know how you couldn't love that movie. And then finish up on December 20th, that's a Sunday at 3 p.m., with White Christmas.
You know,
so we've got a lot of good classics on the books.
And you got them on the big screen. That's, I mean, because these movies, we've talked about it before, people have seen these movies, maybe the kids have seen some of these movies, like Elf, but if they never saw it on the big screen, it's just, it adds a lot more to it.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, Elf is, I think people kind of think of it as newer, but it actually came out in 2003. So the kids these days really probably haven't ever had an opportunity to see it on the big screen, and it's such a different experience, especially in the Sanger. So we hope that everybody will come out, bring your kids. It's very affordable. It's $6 for adults and $3 for kids 12 and under and seniors 60 plus. Again, we are taking all the precautions we can to make it a safe experience. You know, we want to make sure everybody feels comfortable if they get out and do something, and that we're doing everything to keep everybody safe.
You talked about Santa and all the other stuff going on. Is that just at the opening? Is that just for this Friday night, or is that at each of the other three?
No, he'll be at all of the movies. We'll actually open the doors an hour prior to the movie, and he'll be there. We have a special, this is a very little known fact, but we have a special place on the roof where he lands his sleigh. And
nice.
Mrs. Claus has made him a special mask so that he can safely meet and greet with people and get pictures at a social distance, a proper social distance, so that everybody's safe but still gets that chance to have some time with Santa. So, yeah, doors will open. On Fridays, the movies start at 7, so doors are open at 6. And on Sundays, they start at 3, so doors will open at 2 o'clock.
In addition to, you talking about your partnership with one of my favorite charities and what y'all are doing with Mobile's Ronald McDonald House.
Yeah, so if you're not familiar with the Ronald McDonald House, I highly encourage you to Google it. It's a wonderful, wonderful place right outside of USA Children's and Women's Hospital, and the things they do there are just amazing. And we will be collecting items to donate to the Ronald McDonald House. I'll run through them real quick, but there's also a list on our website, paper towels, plastic disposable cups, paper plates, tall kitchen trash bags, gallon and snack size Ziploc bags, laundry detergent pods, bottled water, granola and breakfast bars, and then some coffee items are some of the things that they desperately need right now. So, but again, that list is on our website. So we'd love for if you do bring a donation, we will give you a free small popcorn as a thank you. And another little known fact, we have the best popcorn in the whole city. So
what?
There you go.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
I would be willing to take that bet on in a taste test.
Okay. Well, then I have an added reason to come down to the movies and check
that
out. And you said the website, if people want to go get tickets, do all that, the website is what again? Where do they go?
It's mobilesanger.com. You can pick up tickets. The Sanger box office isn't actually open except on movie days, but the Mobile Civic Center box office has movie tickets that you can buy 9 to 5 Monday through Friday, and the Sanger box office will be open on movie days. But all that information is on our website, mobilesanger.com, and a list of all our health and safety protocols, as well as that list of items that we'll be collecting for the Ronald McDonald House.
Good stuff. And yes, it's going to be a movie series to come out and see on the big screen. I'm looking forward to it, Mary Lee. Thanks for your time. Thanks for what y'all are doing.
Thanks for having us. Appreciate it.
All right. So as Mary Lee just rolled out there, Mobile Sanger Theater to screen their holiday movies. And once again, this Friday, It's a Wonderful Life, which, watch this, Leanna, watch me start more controversy just in this 1 hour. My least favorite of all four of those. My least favorite. Right. I mean, I say things that get people up in arms. The claymation Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, definitely going to be number one on my list. Anything Burl Ives, you know, tinged, that's gold. That's Sunday, December 6th at 3 p.m. Elf, which, how many times has that movie run in our house during the holidays? My gosh. Elf on Friday, December 18th. And then on December 20th, White Christmas, that's a 3 p.m. Sunday show. But Sunday, December 6th is Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. I don't have enough time to get the Burl Ives queued up. Don't worry. In the next couple of weeks, I play lots and lots of Burl Ives Christmas songs. If I had anywhere to be, I'd dress like Burl Ives. You go there like Claymation Burl Ives, which is a swanky look. Except I hate turtlenecks. And all right, so maybe you saw it last night on 60 Minutes. I talked about the Clotilda and us here in Mobile, Alabama. A figurative part of that story is my friend Ben Raines, and he joins us coming up next right here on Midday Mobile.